All right, everybody, it gives me great pleasure to introduce a woman who I adore and I truly appreciate, and that's Evelyn.
Hello, everybody. My name is Evelyn, and I am an alcoholic. I hope this will be enough tissue. Okay, so this will be my very first time ever speaking. And I want to welcome everybody, and I want to thank you, everybody who's here. I'm going to do my best to talk more than cry. I really don't have, like, a long drunkalogue, you know. For me, I've come to learn, you know, where it all began, you know, where everything started for me. And, you know, like, when I was young, the farthest memory that I can remember was my mother always working and me having to stay home with my dad, right? And there weren't very good memories of my father, you know. He did things to me that, you know, you don't do to your daughter. And I don't know, I guess for the longest time I resented him. But, you know, someone told me here, you know, like, I have to see my part and everything. And, you know, like, I didn't expect my own father to hurt me that way. And I understand that, you know, now that I'm older and I've gone through what I've gone through, I know he was sick too, you know. And I understand today that he did the best he could with what he knew, what was the best he could, you know. And, like, that's why I admire a lot of the older men in here in these rooms. And I love how sometimes I get, like, the best advice from some people here, you know, and it makes me pray that I hope my dad was able to find these rooms and probably, you know, get better. And there I go. So then growing up, I guess eventually it got bad for my mom and she couldn't handle him anymore and we left him. And I was born in Vegas and my mom came. And I grew up in Oxnard. And there, you know, my mom, like I said again, was always working. She tried to go to school. And so I felt like I had to grow up, you know what I mean? I had to be responsible because my mom had to take care of me and my brother. You know, when it was just me, I can't even remember much, like, of my mom ever being affectionate with me or of her ever telling me she loved me. Maybe I don't remember it, or maybe she did. I don't know, you know? I honestly don't know. And so, as a very young age, I always felt that loneliness and that yearning to feel loved and all that. And I remember when she came home with my brother, you know, I thought that I was going to be able to find it through him, you know, like, okay, now I'm going to be a big sister, and whoop-de-doo, you know, and again, my mom, like, everything that I wanted from my mom, I saw her give it to him, and I guess that's where my resentments start with her. Like, today, to this day, you know, I find it very difficult to communicate with her because I can't get past, I haven't been able to go get through that part of my life, but I'm able to see it, I'm able to recognize it, you know, and I know where I know where to begin. And anyways, back to that, we had my stepdad, you know, he moved in with us after my mom had my brother, and my stepdad he was very strict. And he wasn't affectionate, and I thought, you know, like, and there I go again, expecting him to be the father that I didn't have, you know, and what I got from him, like, and I didn't even care, you know, I got disciplined, oh, that's him showing me that he cares, you know. But then my mom got pregnant again, and when she didn't come home with my little sister, you know, my stepdad left. And so there again, I feel like the abandonment, you know. And it's crazy because I never saw these things until I came into this program and I started, you know, going through my fourth step where, and digging deep inside, you know, I get that really hurt me that he left, because I thought he was going to be that person that was going to raise me and be the father, you know, that I didn't have. But like I said again, there I go again with my expectations, right? So my mom didn't come home with my sister, and, you know, everything's been dark ever since then. Like, I just remember my mom always been working, and I never really asked nothing for my mom. I was that type of person that I understood that she had to work and do what she had to do to take care of us. So there was really hardly ever communication with my mom, and me and my brother just grew up, and we were always being babysat and this and that. But my mom, after my stepdad, my mom never brought home nobody, and she never drank, did nothing, even smoked a cigarette. Like, she's appalled at the fact that I did any of that. And she always tells me, you know, I never even gave you that kind of influence. How did you come about? But, you know, I don't know. So when a little bit when I remember when my brother turned one, my mom couldn't afford the house that we were living in anymore, and I remember that she had to rent out my room, and it was to this couple with a daughter, and so their daughter and my brother were the same age, so they got to grow up together and be like the best of friends ever, like that they were the, you know, like they were the brother and sister, and, you know, I wasn't a part of that, I guess. And a lot of that has to do with me singling myself out, you know, like me staying quiet and not, you know, not letting people know how I feel. And I guess that's the base of everything for me. I just remember that I got close to the lady, and then her partner, you know, on the line. We lived with them for many years. And her partner, you know, started doing things to me. And I always try to ask myself, you know, why did I allow this to happen to me? You know, I was at an age where I could have said something. But I think because I just wanted the affection and the attention, I allowed it to happen. And until, you know, and that was like for a lot of years, and then it came to the point where I didn't want it to happen anymore, and then by then I didn't have no choice anymore, and I didn't know what to do. And I feel bad, because I remember it came to the point where I had to hide every day when I came home from school, because I didn't want to run into this person anymore, you know, I didn't want that to happen. And then I got scared, because I was like, what if he's doing this to my mom too, you know? And like, I don't know. And so that happened for a lot of years, and then one time, you know, I remember, you know, like, I didn't know what to do, and I remember one time I came home, and they told me he got arrested, and I just felt like this huge relief inside me, you know, like, it's over, you know, but still, I don't know, I just keep holding on to that, because I feel like I should have said something, and it probably would have helped that other girl that he got arrested for. You know, that girl was found bruised and abused and hurt. And I guess I've carried that with me for a while, you know. But, you know, there's nothing I can do about it now. What happened, happened, and everything happens the way it's supposed to. Or it happens for a reason. And I know today, you know, that I don't know. I can't hold on to that no more. You know, it's not my fault. So that happened. And then the lady, you know, that lady was like my sister. And when he got arrested, she left. And I felt so, again, I got this person, you know, I told everybody this was my sister. She taught me everything. She was the person that taught me how to cook, how to clean, you know, everything. How to become, you know, the woman but, you know, everything. You know, that the little things that my mom should have been teaching me, you know, but my mom was always busy. And she took up and left. Just not even a goodbye, nothing. you know? And I don't know, there's another abandonment that I have, you know? Like, I feel like, God, man, why are all these people? And, like, I always felt like something was wrong with me. Like, why is everybody always leaving me? Like, what did I ever do? And so after that, you know, I ran to the first thing that I could find, and that was, I never did, like, I tasted, I had drinks here and there, and I really had no desire for it, because my mom said, yo, you want a drink? Here. She bought me a case, and she said, here, drink this until you feel that you've been satisfied or whatever you want to feel, right? And ever since then, never again, like, I drank, and I did not like it. I did not like having to throw up. I didn't like none of that. Okay, I'm sorry, but I did it. That was that then, right? That was back then. And so I never again tried it. And I did dabble with other things. And I did like the effect of that. And but then I was too scared. You know, I was too scared. I didn't want to get in trouble by my mom if she found out. And I didn't want to be like those girls that they kept finding, you know, in the dumpsters, you know. And I was like scared. So I never continued with none of that. But what I did do was I tried to fix what I was, this emptiness in here with a guy, with the first guy that would, you know, accept me in their life. And I did that, you know, and it was an older guy. And the first thing that happened is I got pregnant. You know, I was 17 years old and I got pregnant, and I had my first son, my son. And then after that, you know, like, my mom didn't like him, and she was like, there is something not right about him. And, you know, she gave me the option. She's like, either you stay and you go by my rules or you go. You know, you're not going to come here. Like, because I turned on her, you know. Like, I was not listening to none of her suggestions. She wasn't trying to tell me what to do. She was just trying to help me and help my son. You know, I know that today. But, of course, my stubbornness was just like, oh, no, you hate me, this and that. You just, you know, you just want to see me miserable and... But I know today, you know, she really wanted to help me. And so I left, you know, I chose to leave and chase him because I didn't want to be lonely, supposedly me, right? And then I have my daughter, and then my mom took me back and she let him come back because now I had two kids and I didn't know what to do. And then what happened was we got kicked out from where we live, and then we found another place to live at, and they were like, you know what? I'm going to have to let you guys go. And then I was just like, why? And then they're like, well, either it's you or him. And then I couldn't see it then, you know? I didn't see it. I just wanted to be there. But I couldn't see that he was, you know, drinking and doing all these other things and acting weird. And I wouldn't see it. My mom would tell me. And, you know, like, I did not see it. But now that I've gone down that path, I see it. You know, like, God, he was like, out there, and my daughter and I put my kids at that risk, you know. And so I told my mom, I don't know what to do because I was scared because he was abusive and he had me like always locked up in my room with my kids, and I didn't know what to do. So she sent me out here with that friend that I said she got up and took off, and I came here, and then I there I go again, you know, trying to find the next fix. And for me, it was something outside of me, you know. It was always somebody else that I thought I was going to be able to feel this inside. And I ended up, you know, like having another kid. And so here I am on my third child. And this person, you know, this person wanted to see me do something with myself, you know. And I was not having it, you know. I was like, no, like, I can't. I have no self-esteem. I have no purpose. I felt like I had no purpose. Like, I felt like this most unworthy person in the world. And I don't even know why, you know what I mean? Like, I had so much potential. I see it today, but I did not see it in me then, you know? And here's this one person that wants to see me do good in life, and I don't, you know? And I don't. And then... that's when I started hanging around the wrong people, you know. Well, not the wrong people. It was just I was hanging around with the people that were doing the wrong things, you know. And I started doing, you know, drugs is a part of my story. Okay, I'm sorry. I know, and when I identify as an alcoholic, for me, it's everything. Because for me, it's been everything. Everything outside of me. If it's that person, place, or thing, drug, or alcohol. You know, that is my disease. And so, when I got into that disease, I man, it was on from there. You know, like, here I am with this guy that wants to see me do good, but here, then I find something else to replace him. And it ended up, you know, like, it ended up all bad. We separated, and I started bringing everybody to my house because I'm an isolator. I don't like to go out. I don't like to do things because I feel like I'm being judged. I'm being looked at wrong. Like, I just have the lowest self-esteem ever, you know? And so I brought everybody home, you know? And only that lasted so long. And I ended up getting kicked out with my three kids, and then I find out that I'm pregnant, you know? I was, like, pregnant. He left me pregnant, you know? And here I am pregnant with my fourth kid, and I can't stop. I am, like, so into my disease, and I can't stop. And when he saw what I was going through and how bad things, and he found out that I was pregnant, he brings me back over here. Yeah, so here I am bouncing back and forth from here, Santa Maria to Oxnard, back and forth, you know, trying to fit in somewhere, you know what I mean? I don't know what I was trying to do. I was just trying to feel this void that I had inside me, you know? And I didn't know that, though. I did not know that. I was just, I don't know. I stopped, and I had my baby, and that only lasted a couple months, you know? I came here. I didn't know nothing or nobody, and I didn't know where to get anything at all. And so what did I start doing? I started drinking. I started drinking, and I started partying, and I started leaving my kids, and then it came to the point where I had to get two jobs, and I wanted to party, so I never saw my kids. I was always gone. I would just leave them at the babysitter's with a bag full of clean clothes and a bag full of food, and off I go, you know, and that was me for quite a while, you know, and at 7 months pregnant, I'm in this relationship with this guy, and man, there was, like, I don't even know why I allowed that much abuse in my life. If I thought the first one was bad, the second one topped it off, you know. I tried to get away from this person so many times, and I couldn't. It was, like, the most scariest experience that I've ever had in my life. And I just did not know. And at the same time, I knew what I could do to get away. And at the same time, I was too scared because I didn't want to be alone. And so I just stayed, and my kids, you know, they were miserable, man. I made my kids' life a hell, you know, like, I was always stuck in that bathroom, not paying any attention to them, and I'm, like, 7 months pregnant, and I'm asking myself, God, how do I stop, you know? Like, why am I even pregnant? I don't even deserve this baby. I'm just hurting it, and I didn't know how to stop. And after I had, like, at 8 months, I stopped. I had no choice because the doctors were testing me, and they're like, you know, I don't know how they said it, but they were like, I don't know, but your blood tests are coming back different, and I was just like, I got scared, you know, I got scared, and they're like, that the baby might have some complications or something, and I got scared, so I stopped, you know, and it was, a lot of it had to do with him because he was like, you know, you're not going to get no more. And that was it, right? And so then he gets arrested. I have my baby. And I was able to stay stopped for a couple months, right? He comes out at 6 months. My baby is 6 months old. And he comes out and I was like, I'm not doing anything anymore. Nothing. But then there I go again. Back at it. Back into that. And it's like, it's weird. It's not weird. It's just like you guys say. You pick up, I picked up right where I left off. Like nothing. Like I didn't think it would escalate so bad. But I picked up right where I left off. And I remember within a month, everything. You know, like I lost the job. I lost the place, you know, I was losing my mind, you know, and one morning, you know, I go to an appointment that I have, and my son, like, as we're leaving, my son's standing in the back, and he's like, you know, I want to go to McDonald's, you know, and I was like, oh, shoot, and he did a wrong flip, and the cop pulled us over right here on Fenster. And he ran. He ran, and he had everything in the car. Everything. And like I felt like, man, you know, the first thing they did was take my kids away from me right then and there. They're like, get him back here, and we'll give you back your kids. And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get him back here? You know, we have no way. They arrested me. They took me in. And they went to the school and picked up my two older kids. And they warned me that they're like, if you get out before 5 o'clock, you can come and pick up your kids. They knew I wasn't going to get out before 5 o'clock. Come on. And so the next morning, I go to CWS. So here I am with the CWS case. And so I'm fighting for my kids. I'm with the CWS. I go into a program called Project Creamy. And I stayed sober for a year. And I didn't know. I was miserable, you know. All I did was try to work, and I tried to get them back, and I couldn't. You know, I couldn't. I tried to do everything. I had a place. I had everything. And then I didn't have a license, so I felt like I was getting picked on. But, you know, in all reality, I wasn't following the rules like they had told me to. And then I came into these rooms, and I wasn't listening to nothing that anybody was saying in these rooms, you know. I was just here because they told me to come here, and they told me that that's how I was going to get my kids back. Well, that's what I heard, right? That's what I heard. And so in the end, you know, like after a year, I started hanging around with people who were drinking and doing things, and I chose to start drinking again. And that led me to everything else. And so then what happened by then was the place that I was living at, they told me that I couldn't live there no more, that they were going to foreclosure the house and everything, you know, like, I don't know. I was at a point where, I don't know. But the thing is that at the end, you know, I couldn't stop. I was like, it was so embarrassing, you know, when my last visit with my attorney for the courts with my kids, he just looks at me with disgust, and he's just like, what are you doing? What is it that you're doing? You know, what do you want? Do you want these kids or not? And then I was just like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. Because I never asked for help, you know? I thought I could do this by myself. I thought that all I had to do was stop drinking, stop doing everything. And when I didn't see no results after a year, you know, and I went back out, I said, you know, it's not working, you know? And so I gave up. And so I chose my disease over my kids. You know, I walked out that courtroom and I said, you know what? Keep them, because I'm no good for them. you know, I am no good for them. And I just left, and I was on a suicide mission for a year, you know. I just didn't want to live, but I didn't have the guts to kill myself because I was scared. And I tried to get arrested. So I didn't try, but I did so many things that should have gotten me arrested, and it just wasn't happening. You know, I got in another relationship where this person was just also abusive, and I guess that's what, you know, there's this movie that I saw one night, and it's like, you know, why do people fall in love with the wrong people? And it says, you know, because that's what we think what we deserve, and I didn't feel like I deserved anything good in my life, and so I just was just trying to fill that void, you know. And I didn't know that, though, but you guys taught me that here. And when, after a year, you know, I finally got arrested, you know. And when I was in there, I was just like, God, I can't do this, you know. I just can't. I don't know what to do anymore, you know. Give me something. Give me something to keep, you know, keep me going. Show me, you know, give me something. I get released after 2 months, and I didn't go to the program like they wanted me to. You know, I was supposed to go check into the shelter, and I didn't. I went back to Oxnard, but I didn't drink, I didn't use, and like I was just out there, and I just observed, and I was just like, man, is this the life that I want? You know, do I want to keep going down this road? And I came back, and I checked into that shelter, and I was just, like, there, like, I didn't know. I was like, God, I don't know what to do, and I'm just there, and I'm there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks go by, and I find out that I'm pregnant. And I'm just like, is this it?
Sorry.
Is this it? You know, I'm like, are you serious right now? Are you sure you want to trust me with another one? You know? I'm like, I didn't really do a very good job with the first four. But yeah, you know, and I couldn't afford a program because I was supposed to go to a program, and I really, you know, like, I really wanted to do something different, but I didn't know how to go. Like, I couldn't afford it. And so when I found out I was pregnant, man, I went straight back to my old program, Project Preemie, and God, you know, like, you guys have this saying here where it's become my saying, you know, like, God brought me to these rooms, you know, and you guys brought me closer to my God. And when I started, you know, when I went back to the program back in 2011, I didn't even share my clean date, huh? So I found out I'm pregnant with him, and on March 28th of 2011, that's my sober date, sorry. that day I went into Project Preemie, you know, and ever since then I've been sober, but, you know, like, I try to do these steps through the other programs. And I didn't really do them to the fullest of my, like, you know, like, because I wasn't willing to trust, you know. And then after a year or two, you know, yes, I was grateful. You know, I had my son, and I ran off of ego and fear, you know. I stayed sober out of ego and fear because I was not, I had this baby now, but I was not willing to go back to that lifestyle, that, you know. I was not willing to let it go. I felt like he was like this gift, and I was not willing to take advantage of it, you know? Like, I wanted to be worthy of him, you know? And God put a lot of people in my life, you know? I did not surrender to this program, you know? I didn't even want to be a part of this program, you know? I'm like, I'm not an alcoholic, you know? I don't have a problem with drinking. BS. I have a problem. I am sick. And that's what we all, you know, that's all we want to do here is to get better, you know. And I never saw that when I first came here. I felt like you guys were judging me because I had problems with the other stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't identify with nobody here, You know, and so that's another reason, you know, why I hardly ever tried to come here. But I, the one thing, you know, that I did get from coming to these meetings was, you know, I got to meet people that, you know, took me in and loved me in spite of me, you know. At 3 weeks old, I got arrested at Walmart for stealing. That's another thing, obsession that I have. That I had, and that I had, and man, he was 3 weeks old, you know, and okay, so in these rooms, I met this man that, you know, I thought was gonna fix me, and I thought, you know, there I go again, you know, trying to feel that emptiness inside, but anyways. But you know what? The one thing, you know, like I said, God puts people in my life, and I am so grateful to that man because he basically adopted my son. You know, he gave him his last name. And so when I got arrested and he was 3 weeks old, they tried to put my son in CWS, and he wasn't having it, you know. He's like, "That's my son. Legally, I am the father of this kid, this baby. You know, he's coming home with me." You know, and of course he didn't do it by himself. He had help. But they had no choice. And I am so, and I will forever be grateful to him. You know, we didn't end up in good terms, you know. And you know, it is what it is. And I can't do nothing about it today. But I have my son still because of that. And so I was gone for five weeks, and I'm there I am in jail pumping and everything because I wanted to breastfeed because I knew I was going to get out and breastfeed my son, whatever. I was determined. It was funny, though, because I don't know. Anyways, I've never really felt like I've had a family, you know. Like, I had my children, and to me, they weren't enough, you know. Like, I felt that emptiness, and it was mostly because I don't know what it was. I just didn't feel worthy of them. I was still trying to search and trying to fill this void, you know. And even with him, like I said, you know, I steered away. I was that dry drunk, you know, that like I said, I wasn't willing to go back, but I wasn't willing to surrender to this program, you know, because I didn't know. And I would hear what you guys had to say, and it still wouldn't click in my head. Why? Because I was too busy taking your guys' inventory here. I was too busy looking at you and not looking at me. I was too busy trying to fit in, but not at the same time. I don't know, like, that's how it was for me, like. And I felt like whenever I brought my kid to meetings and I was looked on and stared at because my kid was being loud, I felt like I was being judged, and that was another excuse that I had that I wouldn't come to meetings, you know, because I didn't have somebody to watch my son because he was being loud, and I just felt like you guys were just judging me, you know. Why? Because that's what I was doing. That's what I was doing. And, you know, I have these friends in my life that, you know, everywhere I go and they see, and people see me with them, I'm like, "Oh, those are my parents." You know, "Those are my parents." They're like, "Oh, who are they?" And I'm like, "Those are my parents, you know, like." And, you know, it feels good when I say that. Why? You know, like, they've been there since they, you know, like, I didn't even know them. You know, I met them through my son's, you know, legal father. And ever since then, you know, they've been in my life, you know, and they've tried to bring me back, and they dragged me back into this room sometimes. Oh my God. And like I said, you know, God puts the right people in my path, and I never saw none of this before, and I never, like, really understood what I was gonna get from here, you know. And it had a lot to do with the fact that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't willing. I wasn't coming here with an open mind. I wasn't coming here willing to let you guys in. You know, like, I say this a lot in the meetings because it's become true to me, you know. Like, I chained myself to that. I'm my worst enemy. I'm my worst critic, you know. I chained myself to all those bad things that I did. Like, I deserve to suffer. I deserve to stay in that, in that darkness that I put myself in, you know. I was not willing to come out and let you guys, like, get to know me because I felt like I was this piece of poop, you know. Like, I chose my disease over my kids, you know, like, what the hell is wrong with me, you know? And I know what was wrong with me. I was sick, you know? I was missing something in here, and I tried to fill it with everything else. And the one thing that I was missing was that connection with my higher power. I came back to these rooms, you know, like, after coming in, like, I never went out. You know, my sober date hasn't changed. But I stopped coming to meetings. And then I started coming back to meetings for the wrong reasons. You know, I was trying to chase somebody in here. And you know what? I ended up getting something so beautiful from this program. When I was welcomed to the, like, I didn't want to get my 5-year gym. So I'm like, why am I going to go get my 5-year support? Like, I haven't done nothing in this program. All I've done was not drink, you know? But he said, get up there and you're going to get a chip. And I was like, okay. And ever since then, everything has changed. I started listening, you know. I started listening to what you guys had to say, and I stopped judging, you know. And I stopped looking at your defects, and I started looking at mine, you know. After 2 months, you know, you guys kept telling me you need to get it. I kept hearing, you know, you must have a sponsor to walk you through these steps. And I'm like, man, but those steps, man, that means after I'm done with those steps, I'm going to have to help somebody else. And I'm like, are you sure? So I'm not going to lie to you guys. I haven't been able to get past step 4 because I'm scared, you know. And honestly, you know what? I did end up getting a sponsor, and we went through those first steps. And when we went on through step 4, you know, I didn't feel at ease after that. Like, I went back to her and I was like, I don't know why I feel like something's missing. Like, I didn't do it. And she's like, because you didn't. Because you held things back from me. And you're not willing to let them go. And I was like, you don't know me enough. But she's right. You know, there's still things that I want to keep. And I'm too scared to let her know. But you know what? I know that I don't have to be scared, you know, like, after, like, I've come here and, you know, my connection with, like, the minute I was able to accept my higher power in my life and be able to surrender and be able to take those chains that I had put on myself, you know, like, the minute I was able to step outside of that and allow you guys in and let you guys get to know me. And I started, you know, talking, and I started, everything changed. Like, I started letting go. You guys taught me here, you know, that I'm not that person anymore. I don't have to beat myself up anymore because I chose my disease over my children, because I chose my disease over everything. And what's my disease? My disease is anything outside of me that alters me from the head up. Like I've said, you know, like, any person, place, or thing, drink, or drug, you know? And that's how I know I can identify, because that's how it is for me today. And I've made some friendships here in these rooms where I'm comfortable with letting them know, you know, how are you feeling today? Not fine anymore, you know? I'm tired, you know, I'm bad, man, I'm going through it right now, you know, like, and I come to these rooms, and I'm the crier, you know, I really, God, I only used one, wow, maybe two, but, you know, those promises, I always thought, you know, those promises were going to bring me my kids back, you know, and I thought that that's what I needed in my life, that's what, you know, that's what I was coming in here and wanting, and you guys taught me that it's what my higher power wants for me, you know. I understand today that God does for me what I can't do for myself, and he did what he could for my children because I wasn't it. And apparently he has shown off to me in many ways, you know. He blessed me with another child. He's blessed me, and I never saw it. I never wanted to see it. Why? Because I was too stuck in ego and pride, you know. And that has been my main... the thing that has been holding me back for so long, You know, and the minute, and I'm not going to lie, you know, like there's sometimes where my pride and my ego want to kick in, but you know what? Today I get to see those things. You guys talk about a new pair of glasses, man, I have those today. And I get to see it, and it sucks. I have to see everything for what it is and how it's like, and I have to be okay with it. You know why? Because it's better than where I came from. You know, I go through bumps in the road, and today, you know, I don't have to run from them, because that's what I did too. You know, I didn't want to be responsible. I didn't want to, you know, I wanted somebody else to take care of me. I wanted somebody else to provide for me. I wanted, you know, I didn't want to be responsible for nothing, you know, and I didn't, and I know that today, and today, you know, I get to be present. You know, I don't have to hide. I don't have to run. And today I get to ask for help, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit, you know. I like to go to my room and cry about it and be like, God, man, why this, why that, you know. Instead of, hey, can you, you know what, I'm going through this, I need some advice, you know. Sometimes I like to just cry and complain about things instead of ask for help. And you know what, I get to see that today. And I don't know, this program has been the hugest blessing. I find this is like, I feel like a little kid that's growing up, you know. You guys are teaching me so much, and I am, like, so grateful. I get to learn, and I get to be me. I get to know who I am. I get to learn every day, and I don't have to think that I, you know, like, that I'm not worthy. I can look in the mirror today and tell myself that I'm worthy, that I love myself. I could not even look at myself in the mirror when I wanted to put makeup on, you know? Like, screw the makeup, because I don't even want to look at myself. You know, that's how bad it was for me. And today, it's not like that. You know, today, before I used to put a front, you know, and I'd smile, and I'd probably talk behind your back or something, or I'd be talking about somebody else. Why? Because I wanted to make myself feel better, you know? And today, you know, I'm not perfect. But today I can smile and truly smile from within, you know, and not just be a front. And no matter how hard it gets, I know that I'm going to get through it. And I don't have to pick up nothing. And I don't have to try to fix myself with somebody or something, you know. And that is because of this program. Like I said, I'm not perfect. I'm a procrastinator, and I still have a lot of work, you know, but I want it, you know, and I want it, and I didn't want it before, because I didn't want to be like you guys, but you know what, I want to, you know, I want to be this happy person, and I want to keep it. Somebody asked me, you know, what's your favorite page when we got here, and I was like, page 417, you know, that talks about acceptance. And when she shared about her favorite page, I was like, oh my God, that is like so me right now, you know? So, I don't know if I covered everything, and I hope you guys got something out of what I had to say. I'm just like truly grateful, you know, like I got a sponsor, like you guys said. I got that connection with my highest power that has grown, you know, and it's what I've been missing, you know, it was like I had that missing puzzle piece, and that it was only his right size, and it was my higher power, you know, and he's the only one that has been able to fill this in here. And today, you know, I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for everybody in these rooms, and I just want to read what, this is just it right here, you know. So today, I'm much more comfortable with life, as Alcoholics Anonymous has promised. And I know they're right when they say it keeps getting better. My circumstances have steadily improved as my spiritual life grows and matures. Words cannot begin to describe the feelings in my heart as I sometimes ponder how much my life has changed, how far I've come, and how much there is yet to discover. And though I'm not sure where my journey may take me next, I know I'll owe it to the grace of God and to three words of the 12 steps: continue, improve, and practice. And one more thing they told me: humility is the key. My name's Evelyn, I'm an alcoholic.